Securities and asset management offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual.
You're listening to The Morning Drive with Chris Beckham on Valdosta's information leader, News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Six back of the Morning Drive on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us. As always, later on, Secretary of State Brian Kemp will be joining us talking about today's election day. Hope you also join us tomorrow. We have some folks on with us from the Children's Advocacy Center. Susan Atwell, the director, will be in studio with us. Also, Jennifer Steele from the Valdosta City School System, and also the folks from the Dosta Theater will tell you about their next production. Always glad to have Stacy Bush from Bush Wealth Management in studio with us, as he is this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
Man, good to see you.
Yeah, go Braves.
Yes, go. I was just saying before the break, as a part of our sports report, 2-17 at home.
Oh, I didn't know it was that bad.
That was terrible. And they're back at
home. I was at one of those losses.
Were you?
I was, yeah.
I'd be more impressed if you had been one of the wins. That's, that's a little more specific. But sometime today, we'll find out what's the major league record for home law, or for least home wins.
Yeah.
For you got to be on pace for it, yeah.
I would think so. I remember back, was it in the early 90s that Oakland, I think, only won like seven or something at home.
For the whole year?
I think it was for the whole year.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but it's something around that number. But it may not be Oakland. I may be way off. But it was one of those times in there that there was one team that literally almost didn't win any at home all year.
I'm hoping we are not going to break that record, but it's not been very nice so far.
Yeah, it's a rough year, but they're rebuilding, and yeah. I like what Stickner is. This how you say his name, Brian Stickner or Stickner?
Yes, Stickner. Yeah,
I haven't seen the spelling, so I'm not sure how to actually say it. But it seems like he's enjoying it. And
yeah,
I don't know if he's a candidate for the long term position or not. I would assume he is.
I would hope so. And if he can turn this bunch around, then he ought to be. So
that's right.
I guarantee you. Of course, we always cover a variety of topics when we have Stacy and the folks from Bush Wealth Management in. I want to talk this morning about a ruling from the Department of Labor, Stacy, and this could affect a lot of people.
Yeah, the Department of Labor governs a lot of different things, and this is something that happened about 30 to 45 days ago, Chris. We just got our hands on the ruling, again, about 45 days ago, so we're still diagnosing exactly what it means. Essentially, I don't want to make it real complicated because a lot of attorneys were involved in this ruling. The Department of Labor governs something called ERISA, which essentially runs employee retirement plans. So your 401ks, your defined benefit plans, defined contribution plans, those are the ones that are like a TRS plan here for state employees, mm-hmm. or ERS, or even the city of Valdosta's municipality plan for its employees. Those are all governed under a ruling that was called ERISA. Because the Department of Labor oversees this, they have changed something called the, quote, fiduciary standard. This is something that attorneys have been working with for years and years and years, Chris. In other words, when an attorney sits in front of a client, they have to act in the best interest of that particular client. Mm-hmm. Well, the Department of Labor is changing how advisors or insurance agents, stockbrokers, anybody who dispenses financial advice or gives investment recommendations, the Department of Labor is changing how that advice is delivered. And so it's a big deal, and I'll give you a couple of the details this morning, but it's something that's very important.
So, again, it's not just the financial advisors. It could be really anybody in that arena. Accountants, I guess, would they be part of that?
Accountants would not fall under this.
Okay. So anybody else who, like I said, who's, I guess, trying to, I won't say sell a service, but I guess in...
You hit the nail on the head. What it boils down to, Chris, is it's the difference between someone who, anybody who dispenses financial advice. So if you're recommending a insurance product versus if it's long-term care or health insurance, or if you're recommending a certain investment product, it boils down to, from what I can interpret, it boils down to how that advisor or insurance agent or stockbroker is compensated.
Okay.
And this is something we've been talking about for 12 to 15 years now with our clients. If you're working with an advisor who is commission-based, mm-hmm. that advisor may or may not be, quote, acting in the best interest of the client. Mm-hmm. They may be selling something, a product, that the firm that they work for may be make more money on.
Okay.
So it's a very important distinction. And so it's something you'll want to bring up and talk about. I think you're going to see some litigation. You're specifically going to see annuity companies go after this ruling because annuity companies are primarily commission-based and they're sold by a lot of insurance agents. And they're the commissions, people, it boils down to the advisors compensated by receiving some sort of commission mm-hmm. versus actually getting a fee. When we went into private practice 12, 15 years ago, we set our practice up primarily on a fee-based culture. That way, revenue was directly derived from how well the actual investments perform mm-hmm. rather than derived to how well a product can be sold to someone.
Gotcha. And so that's important for, and, you know, people get financial information. I think when they think of that, they think of what you mentioned, somebody in the stock market or something like that, whether retirement, but it could be, like you said, insurance, it could be health coverage, it could be a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Because it allows people to actually now, I believe, have a distinction between service providers.
Mm-hmm.
In the medical community, I was kind of looking at some analogies to try to understand this and explain this to clients how it works. In the medical community, you kind of know who a MD is, who a vet is. You kind of know who does
right.
what. It's pretty clear. In the financial advice world, you can have insurance agents say in their planners.
Right.
It's a weird deal.
Yeah.
And this is going to hopefully help a little bit. I will say there's a lot of people that don't like this. Senator Isaacson and I disagree on this. He's actually sponsoring a bill in the Senate to actually overturn this Department of Labor ruling.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have some negative consequences because, Chris, many people believe it may actually hurt a smaller investor, somebody who doesn't have as much to invest because they can't actually work maybe with a fee-based advisor. But I disagree with that. I think as long as someone shows the potential to be a good long-term client, I think any advisor in a community of our size is going to take on that client. So we'll just have to see how it shakes out. I think you're going to see a couple of years of litigation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think long-term, I think it potentially can be a good thing for the financial advice industry. And ultimately, I think it'll be a great thing for the end client.
So as we wait on what we believe will be a couple of years of litigation, will it be in effect during that time?
It is set to go into effect April of next year.
Okay, so it will go into effect then, and then whether or not it's going to be overturned or whatever remains to be seen.
That's right. And again, to boil it down real simple, the advisor, if you're working with the advisor has to act in the best interest of the client, act under what we call a fiduciary standard, a fiduciary capacity,
mm-hmm.
and needs to sell products, sell service, sell whatever that is that is in the best interest of the client. It does not need to be the highest commission product out there. It needs to be something that's actually going to actually perform in the best interest of the client.
Hmm, that's interesting. That could change the landscape by a lot. So.
I think you're going to see advisors that have been in the industry 20 or 30 years. I think you're going to see them say, you know, potentially, hey, I'm done, and they're
really?
Going to be maybe sell their practice to somebody else. There's going to be a lot of upheaval. Again, I didn't know this when we went into private practice, you know, 12 to 14 years ago when we set up our practice like this. But we again, for the bulk of our clients, that we have some that don't like that model, but
mm-hmm.
for the bulk of our clients, they've been on that model from the very beginning.
But the reason that you did set that up 12 to 14 years ago is the same reason this law has been now put into effect. Is that fair to say?
You're exactly right. I remember, you know, early days in this particular industry thinking, now why am I putting this particular client in this particular type of investment
right.
when I know that it's got certain limitations? So
right.
you get in and you kind of learn from the people you hang out with and you realize what's good and what's bad.
Yeah.
And I realized that I did not want to continue on that same path long term because it wasn't – you got to be able to sleep at night, Chris.
Right.
You got to be able to lay down and know you did the best thing for everybody that you work with.
And like in my estimation, I guess in my opinion, like in this situation, but I think it's in just about every situation in life. If you do exactly what you just said, in the long run, you're going to be fine.
That's right.
But sometimes there's, you know, the short-term gains are not sustaining. So
yeah, you know, if like my dad always says, immediate gratification is not good, and yeah. if you want immediate gratification, that's a problem. So if you can actually delay your revenue income over the long term, you'll have a much more sustainable career, mm-hmm. and I believe you'll help a whole lot more people rather than trying to get short-term gain.
Stacy Bush, Bush Wealth Management, joining us. We'll take a break and come right back. More topics of discussion coming up right after this on this Tuesday morning, and back on more of the Morning Drive, News Talk 105.9. This is WVGA.
You're listening to The Morning Drive with Chris Beckham on South Georgia's talk leader, News Talk 105.9, WVGA.
Hey, 20 back on The Morning Drive, News Talk 105.9, WVGA. You know, as we talked to Stacy Bush and Bush Wealth Management, one of the reasons I think that this segment, Stacy, has become so popular is because it's something that everybody at some point or another has to think about as a retirement, and not just a retirement. We talk about a lot of different financial issues, and no matter if you make $20,000 a year or $520,000 a year, you have some form of setup for your finances. And so I think that's why this kind of information is good for everybody.
Yeah, it's one of the things that affects all of us, no matter what stage of life we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do good planning over the long term, you can leave a financial legacy, which I think is what all of us want to do.
If you go to bushwealthandmanagement.com, there's always a lot of interesting articles and blogs on there, including right now, how does your credit score compare? You can see how it compares to the rest of the country. And also with Social Security, five facts that you need to know. And that's just two of the many topics that are on there that you can check out today. One of the things that a lot of folks do go through, and it's often a very emotional time, but whenever someone loses a spouse, it does call for kind of, a reorganization of your financial picture.
Yeah, it's one of the things, unfortunately, that we've experienced many times now over the years, Chris. And this morning, I want to talk about some of the basic steps that folks need to take when that time comes.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through the death of a spouse, if you've been married 2 years, which I've unfortunately had to deal with some of those, or if you've been married 62 years, the emotion is almost the same. And the first thing I would say, and mostly our main niches of work are single women who've been widowed or divorced, or maybe they're professional women, agriculture-based families, and educators. But we kind of specifically work generally on the female side of this equation. And so the first thing is my advice is to just get all the things cleaned up that I'm going to talk about this morning in terms of the basics, but you don't want to make any major financial decisions or major decisions related around big investments, if you will. I used to say 6 to 12 months. It's really good to just chill for a couple of years, would say, because I've seen more financial mistakes made during that 12 months to 24 months after that death than have ever been made. The person may live a real consistent financial life, and then all of a sudden emotions are raw, and they think they deserve something. Maybe they, you know, are making decisions out of hurt and pain or whatever it may be. And then we look back 5 years later and I can't believe I actually did that.
Right.
So the first thing is just to chill out and not do anything.
Yeah. And again, that's sometimes easier said than done, because they feel like, okay, now, I mean, there's everything changes in their life, and they feel like, I guess this has to change as well. And that's not the case. So.
Yeah. I remember working with a young person after they lost their spouse out at Moody. This would have been 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman was lost in the one of the wars. I think it was the first, maybe Iraq war, received a chunk of change from life insurance and military benefits, and ended up buying three or four houses in the first year or two and selling them. So a lot of decisions. Now, that was a young person. I've seen the same situation with somebody who's 60, 65. Mm-hmm. Always, maybe the spouse always talked about wanting a beach house, and then they pay too much for a beach house. So those huge spending decisions that are made in the midst of that can hurt you long-term financially, and you don't want to do those.
I think it's somewhat similar to, let's say, an athlete who comes out of college and gets a big contract immediately, you know, cars, houses, right, the whole nine yards, taking care of your friends. And then we all know the percentages of those bankruptcies, which are just through the roof.
Yeah, sudden wealth,
yeah,
via death, inheritance, lottery,
whatever,
big contract. If it's not, and it boils down to the mentality in terms of how you think about processing that,
yeah,
ultimately determines exactly how you're going to wind up. So, if you can be consistent over the long term, you're in better shape.
I always love to see the stories of an athlete who still drives the 15-year-old pickup truck. He said, that still works fine for me. And I go, see, there's somebody with a head on. Not to say you can't go out and find a decent car, but, I mean, there's somebody with their head screwed on right who just says, hey, I'm just going to put mine in the bank and chill for a while.
Yeah, so. I was watching one of the sports shows before the baseball. You and I are, I think, baseball fans.
Yeah.
I was watching one of them before the baseball season, and it was what's the guy with the Mets? Cespedes, is that his,
yes,
name?
Orlando,
so
Cespedes.
They were doing this special on all these fancy cars that he was driving to the spring training games. And I'm sure they're down in Florida is where the Mets play.
Yeah.
Maybe Arizona, but I think it was
Florida. Yeah.
And so it was like the Ferrari, because he signed a big contract, you, yeah, know, in the offseason. And literally, it was like 10 different high-end cars, and he was driving a different one every day. And then they go to Arizona, and there's this kid from, you know, like Texas somewhere or Alabama, and he's playing for the Angels.
Yeah.
And he literally, because he did not want to rent a car, he bought like a $900 truck from somebody on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And he got a buddy to drive his RV out to Arizona. He lived in an RV during spring training,
mm-hmm,
and he literally drove this truck every day, and then he just gave it away after he left. So he spent $900. He ended up saving $8,000 from what he would have spent on a hotel and all that. I thought it was a great idea.
That is a fantastic idea. Did you also see the story? We're getting a little bit off topic, but I think this kind of goes along the lines of what you're talking about with Malcolm Mitchell, who we can't say enough good things about here. Of course, our own product of Valdosta School, High School, and also the University of Georgia. And he was talking about the upcoming rookie symposium, which they do for all NFL rookies.
Yep.
And Malcolm Mitchell, who had a couple of endorsement deals that he could have taken advantage of, and he says, no, I need to go to this rookie symposium because I need to know the right things to look out for. I'm going to turn down some money and some endorsements, some marketing opportunities to go to this. And I'm thinking, wow, how good is this guy? Got his head screwed on right.
Well, he's a perfect fit for Belichick because,
yeah,
he will work that system. He will do his job just like Belichick always says. And I've got friends, you know, in the Boston area, and every time, you know, a great, like Gronk has a blog thing, and I don't know if you read the blog that Gronk actually, mm-hmm, wrote about Malcolm, and says, hey, I'm going to write a book and we'll go on a book tour. I mean, some of it's kind of tongue in cheek.
Well, Malcolm may stay away from Gronk, maybe.
Yeah. but yeah, Malcolm's a great guy. And I hope, you know, does really well the next few years and then signs a big contract in the future. And I think he'll be one that actually will be able to actually make good decisions and not let that sudden wealth affect his decision-making ability.
Also point to our good friend Randall Godfrey, another Lowndes high school product, obviously. And, you know, Randall played 10 years in the league.
Right.
And he said, you know, he said, listen, he said, I drive a nice vehicle, but I only got one. He said, I've got a nice house. I only got one.
That's right.
You know, I don't go beyond my means. And he has spoken at this rookie symposium in years past, just to remind folks, here's, you know, it's very easy to fall into those traps that you're talking about with sudden wealth that can really hurt you down the line. So.
I think the NFL has gotten better over the years at helping these young athletes. In years past, I remember 15 years ago running across a situation. I actually worked with the gentleman for about a year, but we ultimately parted ways because it was just spending money like crazy, and the plan that we had laid out was not being followed. So I think the NFL has actually internalized a lot of that and actually brought resources in-house to actually help players, because literally you could work 4 to 8 years and that's all you got
that
industry, and then you're done. And you and I, we work 40 years.
That's right, exactly. And usually that is the case. I mean, people see that, but the window of opportunity in the professional sports is very small.
Yes, it is.
Money's got to last you a lifetime. I've gotten you a little bit off topic this morning.
It's perfectly fine. I love talking about sports. The main thing is to, when you lose somebody, the first thing to do is just chill for a while. Go sit down with your advisor, your attorney, your CPA, whoever your trusted relationship is, and then begin to build that plan out and get it cleaned up.
Take a deep breath and don't be moved by emotion.
That's so right.
Stacey, good to see you as always.
Good to see you too.
Have a good week.
You too.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have your Sean Hannity morning update followed by your local news. Secretary of State Brian Kemp will join us. Today is Election Day. All precincts will be open until 7 p.m. tonight. Remind you, we'll have all the election results at ValdostaToday.com as they come in tonight. So keep updating your website and checking that out tonight. We'll have all the election news for you there. We'll take a break and come right back. Hannity next and more of the Morning Drive coming up right after this.
Securities and asset management offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual.